Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to learn about the music industry from the inside out. Welcome to Hip Hop National Radio.
Hip Hop National Radio.
Yeah, y'all know what it is.
Get ready to hear today's newest stars of hip hop, rock, pop, R&B, gospel, and more.
That's it.
A little deep, hopefully not too deep, but we're going to keep going as deep as possible. If you've joined us for the past couple of weeks, I've told you that what's really been on my heart and what I feel that God is really leading me to do is to push. We're in a time, if you're at all keeping up with the world these days, you know, whether it be politics, whether it be the, you know, wars and strife and, you know, the death and crime and you name it. I mean, it's always been around, but if you're paying attention, you had to have noticed that there's just an uneasiness. There's a, and for us here, there's a sense of urgency. There's a sense of urgency to continue to go deeper and deeper and deeper and to help people to just strengthen their relationship with God, to seek Him on a deeper level, and to get to a point where you can hear from Him on a much deeper level and apply that to your lives. So before we get too far into this, let's start the program off with prayer, and then we'll get going. Father, we just thank You so much for another opportunity to come together. I thank You for every person that's joining us tonight. Thank You for those that are going to listen even after the show airs tonight. Father, thank You for Hip Hop National, and thank You for them allowing us to have this opportunity. Father, I just ask that ears would be open tonight and hearts would be open and minds would be open. Speak to the hearts and minds of every single person on this show tonight. Father, we ask this show would bless everybody. Father, bless us and have Your Holy Spirit speak through me. In Jesus' name, amen. Guys, I've spent a lot of time lately, just a lot of personal time, and I think if you joined us last week, I talked about how I don't like to compartmentalize. In other words, I don't have my life sitting over here to the side and separate my life from my job or my task or my mission as a pastor. I don't separate the two. A lot of pastors do that, and that's okay. In other words, their life sits over here. That's their private life. We don't know what's going on. It could be great. It could be jacked up. But I'm going to take that, sit that over to the side, and then I'm going to prepare a message for you that I feel that will be relevant for today. I found that what works for me and what seems to resonate and touch the hearts of the people that I speak to is if I'm transparent. If I take the issues that I'm dealing with in my life and I seek God for His guidance in those areas, more times than not, when it's all said and done and I feel that He's really spoken to me or I've really received revelation from His word, it usually hits me, and I usually realize after the fact that if I'm going through it, chances are most people are probably going through the same thing. And it's not rocket science to try to figure out that we're dealing with the same old issues. We're dealing with relationship issues. We're dealing with financial issues. We're dealing with job issues. We're dealing with all these things that just consume us on a daily basis. So this week I really spent a lot of time asking God and saying, God, please give me a strategy. Give me a strategy, give me a path, give me something where we can, even through this media, we can reach people on a level that helps them to understand and get rid of this disconnect. There's a disconnect between this idea of salvation And the role that God actively plays in our lives on a daily basis, we talked last week about Jonah. We talked about the fact that God has a plan. There is a purpose. There is an end game. There is a design for each and every one of us. And God will do everything he can to accomplish that through us, even if it takes destroying everything around us to get us to where we need to be. And that's what we saw in that's what we really saw in the story of Jonah. That he was willing to sacrifice every single person on that boat just to get Jonah where he needed him to be. We hear preaching, and I've done this. I purposely, on a consistent basis for the past year, I've searched and searched and searched to see if I could find someone. And I found some. Don't get me wrong, I found some. But for the most part, I've been searching for groups of people, for large numbers of pastors, preachers, evangelists, who take us beyond that point of being saved, who take us beyond the point of being born again, and then take us to the next level and show us what it's like to experience the kingdom. To experience the kingdom and the realities of the kingdom of God right here on earth in our lives on a daily basis, in our relationships, in our finances, in every single thing we deal with. And there's a huge disconnect there. And if you've listened to me before, I apply a lot of things to training. That's the world I come from. I come from a coaching, training, athletic background. And without fail, whether you're talking about a coach or whether you're talking about a father, a coach, a mother, they always want to pull and extract the best out of their players, out of their children. That's their goal. What can I do to pull the greatness out of my son, the greatness out of my daughter? That potential and that greatness out of that athlete that I'm going to put on the field this Friday night. That's always what it's about. But there's also free will. There's also this, especially in this day and age, there's a mindset that's a little different than it used to be. I was watching a Little League basketball game on Saturday, yesterday. My son was playing in a basketball game. And I sat there with my head in my hands because the entire game, I watched these 13 and 14-year-olds with their arms out to the side, with these pouty looks on their faces. If they would get called for a foul, their arms would go out, and their response every time was, "What did I do? I didn't do anything wrong." And I almost started to laugh because I said, "Yeah, they're 13 and 14 years old, but isn't that what we all do? We don't take criticism very well. We would rather be killed by praise than saved by criticism." And if anybody dare criticize us, we get so offended because we think we've got it all figured out, even though we keep ramming into a brick wall at every turn. Our relationships keep failing. We keep struggling with relationships. We don't have any peace. We don't have any joy. We struggle with our finances constantly. We struggle with this idea of, "God, I keep asking. God, I keep dropping on my knees and saying, please help me, but you're not helping. Where are you, God? We take no personal responsibility for our lives. That's a concept that's completely gone in today's society. Everything has to be somebody else's fault. But I think we're going to experience a breakthrough. If you'll listen to what we're going to teach, not just tonight, but in the coming weeks, if you'll listen to what we're going to teach, it will help you to create a new mindset, and it'll help you take that mindset and pass it on to other people, because that's what we need more than anything in this country today, is some people who are willing to stand up and are willing to say that my actions are my responsibility, my life is my responsibility, the world owes me nothing. There's a little video of an autistic boy, and if you can watch this video and not bring a tear to your eye, then I'm not sure that you have a soul. But this autistic boy, who's pretty severely autistic, gives a speech on how the world, everybody looks at him and they feel sorry for him, and it's you know, poor, pitiful Andrew, and Andrew doesn't. He needs a break in life, and he needs this. And this 10-year-old autistic boy looks into the camera on this video, and he said, "The world owes me nothing. I don't care what my handicap. I don't care what struggles I have. I don't care what obstacles I have to overcome. That is up to me to overcome them, and no one owes me anything." And that comes from a handicapped 10-year-old autistic boy. And that mindset is the complete opposite of what we experience on a daily basis. The mindset today is the world owes me everything. The world needs to take care of me. The world where I'm lacking, the world needs to make up the difference. That's not true. And until we realize that, nothing's going to change. It's not my neighbor's fault that my life is jacked up. It's not my boss's fault that my life is jacked up. I need to stop. I need to back up. I need to look at myself in the mirror, and I need to have a long conversation with my Heavenly Father and say, what am I doing in my life that is displeasing to my Father, who has given me all things pertaining to life and godliness, who says in his word that he wants to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I could ask or think, that these are the things that he desires for me, that I'm a co-heir with Christ, that I have an inheritance, that this Bible promises me all of these things. Why am I not experiencing it? We're going to break that down tonight, and we're going to begin that process. So hang with us. I promise you, you won't be disappointed. We give you some strategies tonight and something you can really take with you, and I think this program is really going to bless you. Stick with us. We'll be right back. We're going to take a break for some music and some commercial messages. You're listening to Hip Hop National Radio, Crimson Line Ministries.
Give them praise. Come on, don't be stopped. We gon' give them praise. Yeah.
You have now entered into a realm like no other.
I'ma tell y'all people right now, ain't nobody else greater.
Nah.
Who you know that can be named Alpha and Omega?
Right.
You may need a lot, but this rock got favor.
Hey.
Ain't no coincidence like rocks is a paper. Only one that earned king status from a prince. Nobody ever lived that can walk up in his prince. Ain't no blueprint simplified.
Hey.
Jesus Christ came to die.
Hey.
Level make Marines holler.
What's up, good people? It's your boy, Andre Lewis. Here's my new single entitled Give Him Praise. Download it on iTunes and follow me on Twitter at Lyricist Lewis. Aight!
Give him praise. Come on, don't be stopped. We gon' give him praise. Yeah.
You have now entered into a realm like no other.
I'ma tell y'all people right now, ain't nobody else greater. Who you know that can be named Alpha and Omega? You may need a lot, but this rock got favor. Ain't no coincidence like rocks is a paper. Only one that earned king status from a prince. Nobody ever lived that can walk up in this prince. Ain't no blueprint simplified. Jesus Christ came to die. Level make Marines holler, hoorah, simplified. He got that power, much more than Kanye. Jesus ain't alive, it's just something that me conscious. Yeah, he came and died, but he rose on that thigh. Yeah, now he's in the sky, most high with a prophet. And he coming back, white horse with the strong arm. First you're gonna hear that trumpet blaring Louis Armstrong. Get the music right, don't be caught up singing thong song. Read up on your words too and don't be quoting song song. Came and died for the homies. Got enough blood for you and also for your homies. Holy Spirit's on the inside, you're never lonely. Open up the pages of the Bible, then it shows me. I gotta live righteous, gotta live holy. Gotta stay humble, but in other words, lonely. Learn about Christ, he's the life for your soul. Jesus is his name, but don't forget it like Toby. You can't be so arrogant, imitating Kobe. When you go to the throne, but got a right to go boldly. Snatch it back, things from the devil, that's what he owes me. Like the fact that I'm saved, I believe cause Christ told me. Can't wait to see Jesus' hands, they still holy. From hanging on that rugged old cross for my soul. He did it out the love of his heart, he never owed me. And that's why I love him, cause that's the first thing he showed me. Now check me out. Go ahead, I get a Lord praise. Pay attention, start repeating, it's the end of days. Get down on your knees, let him know that he's amazing. He's amazing, he's amazing. Go ahead, I get a Lord praise. Pay attention, start repeating, it's the end of days. Get down on your knees, let him know that he's amazing. He's amazing, he's amazing. Alpha and Omega, the creator, the final way maker, on top and none greater. Just know that Satan is a lying, full-fledged hater. Okay. He can hate all he wants, but can't stop God's favor. See, God can make it possible, possible. So how could you believe on what them doctors do? Working in a hospital. Jesus left a comforter, the Holy Ghost inside of you. A filler and a healer, not a killer. He will guide you through. Serving omnipresent God that does not lose the sight of you. If you need an open door, hit the floor and trust the Lord. He will meet your every need. Humble cry, he can't ignore. Why you think God Jesus came? To pay the price we can't afford. Worthy, righteous, holy, what else is that you can't adore? And he's the same God of the future, present, and day before. When you go bananas, when your favorite team scores, don't forget to lead your best into the Lord, he did more. Go ahead, I get a Lord praise. Pay attention, start repeating, it's the end of days. Get down on your knees, let him know that he's amazing. He's amazing, he's amazing. Go ahead, I get a Lord praise. Pay attention, start repeating, it's the end of days. Get down on your knees, let him know that he's amazing. He's amazing, he's amazing.
Gospel, hip-hop, pop, R&B, calling all genres of music. Hip Hop National Radio is ready to give you the chance of a lifetime with our Flyers on Fire Street Connect campaign. Hip Hop National Radio, in conjunction with Poetic Inc., is gearing up for a promotional campaign that will sweep the nation. Flyers on Fire Street Connect campaign. Yes, Hip Hop National is taking your music to the streets in all the major cities across America. Wait, there's more. Flyers on Fire campaign will go viral as well, attacking all the major social networks, Twitter, MySpace, Facebook, and more. The Flyers on Fire campaign is designed for you, the artist, to hit many major markets to promote your music at the fraction of the cost. Hip Hop National Radio is all about teaching you how to take your music from the studio to the bank. Our mission is to assist you in spreading the good news about your music while making a profit. Get in now. Log on to HipHopNationalRadio.com. Remember, promotions are the key to making your project a success. Hip Hop National Radio has the network to take your project to the next level. Our packages start at $85. Call 954-461-3398. That's 954-461-3398 for more details.
This station is a member of BOB. band of online broadcasters, powered by Cloud Radio.
Welcome back to Hip Hop National Radio. That was Andrew Lewis and Give Him Praise. All right, guys, let's dig into this a little bit. The title of this series is Discovering the Real You. And, you know, you can look out there and you can see books written with a similar title, and, you know, everybody's always talking about the real you and being who you are. And, you know, during the break, I was sitting here thinking there was a shift for me last week on the show. Last week's show was fun. It was just a different feel to it. I think at the end of the show, you know, we've got guys calling in, and it almost felt like we were in the same room. That's one of the things I struggled with a little bit with the radio show, is saying, gosh, we need fellowship. We need to be together. But I think one of the things that I've realized is that, I think I touched on this last week, is that the people that's associated with the radio show, with Hip Hop National, that we've reached out to each other, we've had long conversations on the phone, I've had some people that have listened in, that have connected with me on Facebook. I've called them from other parts of the country and helped counsel them a little bit and answer some specific questions. And so it's serving a much deeper and much broader and a much more effective purpose than I think I was telling myself. So I say that to say that as we move forward, I think we're going to have a much more relaxed atmosphere. I feel much more comfortable of just kind of laying it out there. I'm definitely not a watered down, sugary sweet kind of preacher. We got enough of those. But just a different level of comfort has kind of come over me, and an anticipation and looking forward to the radio show like I haven't since we started. So discovering the real you, and when I say discovering the real you, discovering the person that God intended you to be. You hear me use the word disconnect a lot. And one of the other ways that we're disconnected is we think, when we hear the word called, God has a calling on my life. People in church have recognized gifts in me. People in church have tapped me on the shoulder, or somebody that I view as being a really spiritual person has come up and told me that there's an anointing on my life. And we hear these words and we experience these things, and we believe that somehow that means that we're supposed to drop everything that we're doing, that we're supposed to quit our jobs, and we're supposed to either take up a Bible and start preaching the Word of God, or we're supposed to sell everything that we own and get on a plane and fly to Mozambique and go into the mission field. And in some cases, that's true. And usually people who experience those things, they know. They know that they know that they know. But that's not, most of the time, that's not the case. Most of the time, that means that throughout your life, you have known that there is something about you. There is a gift. There is a talent. There is a burning. There is something that keeps you up at night. I don't care whether it's a professional athlete. I don't care whether it's math. I don't care whether it's dreaming of being an astronaut. I don't care what it is. The gifts and talents that God has given you, whether it be that your brain works differently than mine and you can compute things like a calculator or like a computer in seconds, or whether you can throw a baseball 100 miles an hour, or whether you can run the 40-yard dash in 4.2 seconds. Those things that are in you, those gifts, those talents, they're not coincidence. They're just not randomly there. They're there for a reason. Those things that keep you up at night, that passion that you have inside of you to do something, is not there randomly. It is there for a reason. But the question always comes in, I take this talent, I have a talent for X, Y, or Z, so I'm going to take that talent, I'm going to line that up to what the world tells me that I'm supposed to use that talent for. Sometimes it's obvious, but sometimes it's not. And I'm going to run that talent, gift, passion, desire, dream, I'm going to run that through the world's filter. The filter of what the world tells me about this thing. What does the world tell me if I can do this really well? Then that means I'm supposed to do this. Well, if I want to accomplish this, what steps do I need to take to get there? And I run that through the world's filter again. And the world says I need to do this, 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 and this. If I want to start a business, I need to go hire a business consultant. And that business consultant is either going to agree or disagree with my business plan, and he's going to use words like business perspective. And, well, from a business perspective, we have to look at it like this. And if you want to attract this market, then you have to do this, because this is what the statistics tell us. This is what the world tells us that works. And in our logical, natural man way of thinking, that makes sense. Well, if it worked for him, then it'll work for me, and that's all well and fine. We're looking for another level. We're looking for something different. We're going to read out of the book of Romans first. This is Romans chapter 14 and verse 17. Actually, it's Romans chapter 14, verse 17. And it says, "For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking." Now, there's a context to that, but we're not going to go into that. We don't have time for that. "For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit." Let me read that again. "For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking." Let's eliminate that. "For the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit." The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. That's where it begins. Jesus was obsessed with the kingdom. That's all he talked about. Jesus didn't come and say, "I'm here so that you may be saved." No, that's not what Jesus said. He did something so that we may be saved. But what did he teach? What was he trying to do? What was he trying to get through the thick skulls of the people that he experienced back then? And we're still dealing with those thick skulls today. He said, "I'm trying to teach you about a kingdom. I'm trying to teach you about this other world that you can live in today. It's not about this far off place that you aspire to, that I'm going to go through life, I'm going to do the best I can, I'm going to take each day and take what it gives me, I'm going to go with the flow, and hopefully I'll be good enough to get my ticket to heaven." That wasn't the intent. The intent was, Jesus said, there's a kingdom. Repent, for the kingdom has arrived. I have brought the kingdom back. It is here. You can experience that kingdom if you follow these principles. If you will follow these principles, these doors will open wide open for you, and you will experience exceedingly abundantly above anything you could ever ask or think. You have no clue what's on the other side of that door. But there are rules. There are principles. There are ways of doing things that are not your ways. God's ways are not our ways. And the beginning of that kingdom is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. In other words, if you don't have these three things, the kingdom is not in you. It's funny how the kingdom has become the new popular catchphrase. Everything is about the kingdom. I hear every preacher, every pastor now, whereas even a year ago, it was difficult to find anybody talking about the kingdom, but yet now it's exploded. And I hear these pastors and preachers talk about the kingdom, and they're using it completely out of context. We now have kingdom music. It's everything's about the kingdom. Everything's about the kingdom. And every time I listen to a sermon, I'm like, oh, my goodness, they're just completely missing the entire point of this. The kingdom, we hear it all the time that, brother, our job here, and we've said it at Crimson Light Ministries, and we will continue to say this, that our mission and our goal in life is to advance the kingdom of God. But now we're hearing that everywhere. Grow the kingdom, advance the kingdom. But this verse makes me take a step back, because those three things all apply to me. In other words, the kingdom starts with me. Righteousness, joy, and peace. And if I can accomplish those three things, if I can seek righteousness, if I can stay on my knees daily and seek the kingdom, seek ye first the kingdom, seek ye first righteousness, seek ye first peace, seek ye first joy, and all these things will be added unto you. But what do? We seek the all these things added unto you first, and then expect to take those things and mash them into peace and joy and righteousness. In other words, I'm going to go out into the world and I'm going to do things the world's way, and I'm going to compromise what I know the Bible tells me not to do. If the Bible tells me, God's word tells me, don't handle your business that way. Don't lie. Do you know that the statistics came out and says the average person lies 10 times a day? And I believe that they probably don't even know it. I also heard somebody say recently, it said, if I tell a lie 100 times, it becomes the truth. Isn't that interesting? Because if we turn on the news and we hear lie after lie after lie after lie, every time we turn it on, it becomes the truth. Well, what do you mean that's not true? Every time I turn the TV on, that's what I hear. It's got to be true. But we operate the same way. We say, I'm running my business. And if I can, because we live in a technological world now, because everything is done through social media and everything, I can really tell these people anything that I want to in order to shift their thinking, in order to get them to move in the direction that I need them to move. In other words, I'm going to lie. I'm not going to be transparent. I'm not going to tell the truth. I'm going to lie. I'm going to exaggerate. I'm going to twist the truth in order to get you to do what I need you to do, buy what I need you to buy. That's how we function. That's how we do everything that we do. And sometimes it's obvious, and we say, well, it's just a little white lie, or, you know, if I would have told the truth, it would have really hurt somebody's feelings, and we've all been down that road before. And we know the outcome. But let's go back to this idea of the kingdom being It starts with us. See, if we realize that the kingdom starts in each and every one of us, then the advancement of the kingdom takes care of itself. Because if I know that I can wake up every morning and drop to my knees immediately, talk to my Heavenly Father and say, here's another day. Thank you for another day. We're not praising him enough. I used to think it was kind of cheesy when I would say, when I would read a post on Facebook, when I would hear somebody say, thank you, Lord, for waking me up this morning. And I think my reaction, because of my hard-headedness and whatever, I would say, come on, really? But then it kind of hit me. Why would I not thank him for waking me up another day? Why would I not look around me every day and say, thank you for my job? Thank you for the ability to praise you and worship you one more day. Thank you for the ability to meet someone and impact them in a positive way today. Thank you for another opportunity to do better today than I did yesterday. Thank you for the ability to just praise you. Thank you for my life. Whatever things are praiseworthy. God can't resist our praise, but yet we spend every day worrying a lot more about the things that we don't have instead of the things that we do have. And I get it. That's that natural human emotion. That's where the world beats us down. That's where we get fearful. But what is God saying? He's saying, seek righteousness. Clean these areas in your life up that need cleaned up. Find peace in me. Find joy in me. And once you do that, all these things will be added unto you. The Bible says, let's back up a little bit. There's this, and I'm going to see if I can give you an illustration. If by chance you have a pen and a piece of paper, please grab it real quick because I'm going to give you a visual if possible. In John chapter 10 and verse 7, Jesus said, I'm the door. In John chapter 3 and verse 5, Jesus answered, unless someone is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. John the Baptist came and he's talking, repent. Repent, for the kingdom is at hand. Let's talk about that word repent for a minute. Nobody likes to hear that word. It kind of goes back to what we talked to a little bit about. We don't like to be criticized. We don't like to be told that we're living our lives in a little off. We don't like to be given advice too much because everybody's got it figured out, and if we can't figure it out, we can just Google it, and that'll give us the truth. But we all know that's not the case because John the Baptist came, and what did he say? He said, repent, for the kingdom is at hand. Jesus came and preached and said, repent, for the kingdom has arrived. And we have this mentality that says, I'm going to go to church on Sunday and I'm going to go down to the altar and I'm going to say, I'm sorry. See, the word repent does not mean I'm sorry. The word repent literally means to change your mind. The word repent literally means to turn around. So when we repent, see, when you say I'm sorry, that's saying I'm sorry, but I don't really have any intent of not doing it again. It's just a way of getting out of it initially. I'm sorry. But to repent means to turn from your ways. God, I've been doing it this way for such a long time. I've sinned against you. I've broken your commandments. I have not obeyed your law. I have not followed the way that you do things and the way you told me to do things. And I'm turning from that. I'm changing my mind. I'm going to develop a new mindset based on your word, based on the teachings of Jesus, telling me about the kingdom, and I'm never going to go back again. See, because as long as we keep going back, we can never experience what God has planned for us. And I see it day after day after day. When things get hard, we automatically revert back to our comfort zone. We automatically revert back to what I've been able to accomplish in the past that may not have brought me much success, but it gave me something. It gave me a little bit of something that I could grab and hold on to, a little bit more money, a little bit, you know, I did this before and this pays a few bills, or I did this before and this gave me the reputation or the influence or the fame, or it gave me a little bit, just something that could just put a smile on my face today. I see it day after day after day. We get frustrated with God, and we immediately go backwards. We go backwards to the same people. We go backwards to the same strategies. We go backwards to the same lifestyle. We go backwards to the same language, the words, everything. And I taught on this several months ago. And the book of Ruth is the perfect example of this. You had Ruth, Orpah, and Naomi. And all three of those represented something. All three of those ladies represented something. All three had the ability to experience what God had intended for them. They had the ability and the opportunity to experience blessing, victory, comfort, peace, joy, prosperity, all of those things. All three did. But Orpah went back. She was the first one. She was the first casualty. Because the word Orpah literally means to go back. See, none of this stuff written in the Bible is a coincidence. Because Naomi told her, go back to your gods. Go back to your people. And that's exactly what she did. She left and went back to her false gods, to the people who had caused her so much pain. Naomi had the chance to experience a little bit more, and she got a taste of this. But Ruth was the one who found her Boaz. Ruth was the one who found her Christ. Ruth was the one who hung in there through the hard times. She was the one who didn't complain about where she was. She was the one who didn't complain about following behind the reapers and just getting scraps of what they were dropping. She didn't mind getting her hands dirty. She didn't mind working from sun up to sundown. She didn't mind sticking with her mother-in-law when everything in her told her that there would be more comfort if I went back too. But that's our MO. We look at a time in our life that wasn't so bad. It wasn't so bad. It was better than this. It's better than what I'm experiencing today. And we forget all of the things that God has done in our life. We forget the wisdom that he's poured out, the knowledge that he's poured out. We've missed the lessons that we've learned and the victories that we've experienced. We forget all that, and we focus on the discomfort of today, and we go back. And there's nothing that breaks my heart more than to see that. Because then at some point you have to pick up and you have to do it all over again. And the damage that is done, not just to you, it's the damage that's done to the people around you who watch you go back. who watch you go back and start hanging out with those same people that you were hanging out with before. The time that the new time that you could be spent doing something productive and moving forward is now spent doing mindless activity just to be able to smile and laugh a little bit. And I get it. So let's look back at the kingdom. The kingdom begins with you. The kingdom is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. What's the end? In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8, it says, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Receiving, this is chapter 1, verse 9, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. So the end of my faith is the salvation of my soul. The beginning of the kingdom is righteousness, joy, and peace. Jesus said, I'm the door. I'm the door. This all begins with me. Accept me. Believe that I died on the cross. Stick with me here. This is going to get a little tricky, but I'm going to try to lay this out. Believing in me that I died on the cross and rose again in 3 days. Now you're saved. The problem is that most churches stop there. Jesus said, I'm the door. And I'm just going to make this appeal to you right now. If anybody on this radio show ever invites me over to your house, don't ever just leave me at the door and not invite me in. Don't leave me standing at the door in the storm and in the rain and the lightning and the filth and the nastiness and everything that I'm experiencing at the door, because my intent of coming to the door was not to stand at the door. My intent is to come in and to experience hospitality, to experience a new place, to experience whatever it is I'm going to experience inside the house that I was invited to. But we go to church on a weekly basis, and it's Jesus died on the cross, rose again in 3 days. Believe in this, and you shall not perish, but have everlasting life. If you believe in Jesus, then everything's going to be okay. And miraculously, when you make this decision to accept Jesus into your heart, that you're going to wake up and you're going to stand up from the altar and you're never going to want to sin again. And now I'm going to bring you back to church every Sunday, and I'm going to smile with this big cheesy grin, and I'm going to tell you how your life is going to miraculously turn around because you made that decision last week. And that's a lie. That's the beginning. The beginning is knowing that I just gave my life to Jesus Christ, that I accepted him into my heart. God became flesh and dwelt among us and gave his life so that I may live. He experienced hell for me. He took my sin upon himself so that I may have eternal life. But before he died, he spent a few years teaching me about a kingdom. I'm the door. I'm the way in. Now, go back to what I taught you. Because once you get inside the door, oh my goodness, you have no idea what's on the other side of that door. But you're not going to be able to experience that what's on the other side of the door here on earth if you don't do the things that I told you to do. So if you have a piece of paper, I want you to write the word spirit, and I want you to draw a straight line to the right of the word spirit. Draw a straight line up and down the page. That's one column. Second column, I want you to put the word soul. And in the third column, I want you to put the word body. We are a three-room house. Spirit, soul, and body. The moment we're saved, prior to being saved, we're a two-room house. We're a soul and a body. Everything that we do is governed by our soul and our body. There's no other influence. But once we become saved, we add a room, and that's the spirit room. The moment we accept Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of us. The Holy Spirit is Curious George. The Bible says, who knows the mind of a man but the spirit of a man? The Bible says that the Holy Spirit searches God. He literally, once we are saved, the Holy Spirit goes to God and says, I need to know every single thing about this guy, this girl, this man, this woman. I need to know everything. Tell me everything. He's curious. He wants to know, what am I dealing with here? So here's this perfect spirit room. This Holy Spirit is contained in this room, and it's perfect. It is righteous. The Bible says that once we are saved, God views us as the righteousness of himself. He's seeing that through that spirit room. In other words, he says, this is who I know you can be. Now we have to get to work. So now in 1 Peter, it says that receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Here's the trick. Inside that soul room contains every bit of garbage that you've ever experienced, every bit of pain that you've ever felt. Inside that spirit room are your emotions, your intellect, your passions, your desires, your temptations, your ways of thinking, your ways of acting, it's all contained in that spirit room. Everything. So what must happen? The Bible says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Your mind is contained in that soul room. That means it has to change. See, because everything in our lives that we deal with on a daily basis, we run through a world filter. We run through the filter of the world. We run through this filter of says, well, that's what my mama taught me, or that's what my dad taught me, or that's what my pastor growing up taught me, or this is what the world tells me about success. This is what the world tells me about body image. This is what the world tells me about everything that I deal with. This is what I've experienced in my life. And now this room is so full of garbage and contradictions and mess and lies and worldly truths. And that's what controls my body. My soul sends a signal to my body and says, this is how I operate, now go do. The body sees an attractive woman. The body wants something. Sends a signal back to the soul. The soul says, well, based on what's in here, go for it. That's the way you operated prior to being saved, but now you've got a problem because now you have a spirit room and now there's a tug of war going on between your soul and your spirit to be able to control the body. Because now the spirit is sending a signal saying no, but your soul is so contaminated that it's still going to win 9 times out of 10. Even though you're saved. So what do we have to do? What's the strategy here? How do we get to this point where we discover who the real you is? The soul has to die. We have to take each one of those things, our worldly intellect, our past failures, our past pain, the things we went through in our childhood, the things we've experienced, the things that maybe our church has taught us, these religious do's and don'ts made of men that aren't of God, they're of men. We have to take all of that, and we have to take it right to the foot of the cross, and we have to kill it. It must die. I'm telling each and every one of you, and I'm telling myself, because I've been telling myself this all week long, that if I keep doing things the way that I've always done them, nothing is ever going to change. And if I'm not willing to experience the pain and the struggle that it's going to take to get there, there's never going to be any victory in the end. I'm going to be 80 years old, and I'm still going to be sitting here saying, well, maybe next year something's going to change. We're so consumed and we're so inundated constantly from the religious world, from this Christian church world, with words like favor and blessing. And I see it every day on Facebook. Every day. The Lord told me this morning that you're about to experience a breakthrough in your life. And blah, blah, blah. Man, this dude has 4 million followers. So you're sitting here telling me that God told you this morning that 4 million people today are going to have a breakthrough in their lives and experience favor and blessing. I'm not trying to be a downer, but that's not the way God works. It starts with us. What do you want? Do you want to keep hoping that things are going to get better? Or are we finally going to make a decision to say, you know what, God? You know what, Dad? I'm not going to leave your side. You promised never to leave mine. I know you're there. But I'm making a commitment right now that I'm not going to leave your side, that I'm going to keep pursuing you. I'm going to keep seeking righteousness, and I'm not going to rely on a man. I'm not going to rely on a woman. I'm not going to rely on a bank account. I'm not going to rely on anything of this world for my peace and my joy. My peace and my joy come from you, period. That means that if everything around me fell apart and left me tomorrow, that I'm still standing. That if everything hit the fan tomorrow, that I'm still standing here with my Heavenly Father, knowing that I worship a God who gave everything for me, who sacrificed everything for me, and knowing that there is another world waiting for me to accept, to reach out and grab these realities. This is not popular teaching. I've been told that several times lately. That's not popular. I was actually told that I really couldn't speak this way to a group of younger folks, because the younger generation today, they don't want to hear that life requires anything of them. That comment blew me away. I was listening to the news this week, and I heard a senator literally say, "Poor Americans are working too hard. We don't need to work so much." Lord have mercy. We don't need to work so much. Poor, pitiful, working folks who have a job. That's not the way I was raised. That's not what the Bible teaches us. We have a decision to make. Each one of us has the ability to change our surroundings, to set an example, to say the buck stops with me. I choose to wake up today, and I choose, number one, to thank God that he gave me another day. I choose to praise God. I choose to not take a step back. I choose to keep grinding and keep seeking him and taking every opportunity that comes my way as another opportunity to do it right this time. In every aspect of my life, from my finances to my relationships, everything. Another day to do it better. To put the responsibility on my shoulders. And to start running the things that come at me on a daily basis, when there are decisions to be made, to start running those things through a kingdom filter. Let me run it through this kingdom filter first. Let me see if it lines up with what Jesus taught me about the kingdom. When I'm dealing with my money, hold up. Before I spend one dime of that money, let me see what Jesus talked about money. What did God say about how to handle my money? I can either run it through that kingdom filter and do what God told me to do with my money, or I can run it through the world's filter. I can run it through the filter of my soul, where it says, man, you can't. I know the Bible says that, you know, wherever you're being fed, that, you know, you're supposed to give 10% of that money. But, you know, I heard somebody tell me that was legalistic. So that doesn't apply. That's in the Old Testament. I'm not supposed to tithe anymore. And I know Jesus said that if you don't sow, then you don't reap. If you're not giving, you're not getting. I know that's, you know, that's what the Bible says, but yeah, come on. I mean, I'm hurting. I mean, there's barely enough money at the end of the, you know, there's more bills than there is paycheck. And man, if I get this, then I'm not going to have, hey, it's your choice. In dealing with your spouse, when things start to go bad, you have a choice. Run it through the world's filter and say, you know what? You know, the grass is always greener on the other side. And I'm fed up and tired and blah, 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 same old, same old. I can run that through a kingdom filter and say, have I really given it everything that I can give? It's always a kingdom filter. We have to stop compromising in order to achieve gain. We have to start being transparent. We have to start telling the truth. We have to start sticking to our principles. We have to start sticking to our morals and our values. We have to start. If we don't, no matter what the world tells us, it'll just be the status quo. Things will continue the same. And as a matter of fact, they will start to deteriorate at some point. And we're going to keep pouring and pouring and pouring these teachings into you as much as you'll allow us. Because we've just got to start thinking in a different way, including myself. Things that I'm teaching you are the things that I deal with on a daily basis. Nobody on this show tonight is any different than I am. Not one. I'm not more spiritual. I'm not more holy. I'm not more righteous. I'm just seeking to be more righteous. I'm seeking every day to try to just come close to loving the people around me like my father loves me. I'm seeking to try to make him proud every day instead of really trying to pretend like he doesn't exist, because if I really acknowledge the fact that he really existed, if I really connected with this idea that that's my Heavenly Father and he's watching everything that I'm doing and listening to every word that comes out of my mouth and watching every decision that I make concerning my business, concerning my relationships, you couldn't bear it. You couldn't. So we wear the word God as a name tag and a bumper sticker just to tell the world that somehow I'm a better person because I believe in God and follow Jesus and those kinds of things. But one last thing. I want you to think about this, and then we'll take a break. Sin is fruit. Sin is fruit. Look at this practically. Once fruit exists, once there's actually fruit that I can reach out and grab, that means that there is a full-grown tree and there's a very developed root system. So once sin exists in my life, that means that it's just not something that popped up today. It's not some random thing that just happened. There's something that's been developing and growing for a period of time, and there's a root system that's developed. And it's really interesting that the Bible says that Jesus is the axe. He's the axe. He's the one that takes the axe to the root. Sin is sin. I don't care how you want to twist my Bible. I don't care how you want to twist the Word of God. Sin is sin is sin. But instead of addressing the sin, and instead of being one of these preachers or being a person who stands up and gets on a soapbox and just hammers on a sin, why don't we try to have a little compassion and say, hold on a minute. That means there's got to be a root system there. That means there's got to be something that could have come from their childhood. That means there's something that's been developed because of some kind of pain. That means there's something that they were born with because of generational curses. There's got to be something there that has led them all the way to this point where there's fruit. The Bible says you will know them by their fruit. I don't care about your gift. That's a harsh statement, isn't it? I could care less how anointed you are. I could care less what Pastor Joe or Prophet so-and-so, I don't care what they said about how gifted and talented and anointed you are. I care about your fruit. If there's a gift and there's no fruit, what's the point of the gift? What's the point? We have to start understanding these things. And if I love you, and that's all of us, and it doesn't matter whether we're on the radio show, it doesn't matter whether you live 3,000 miles away from me. You're my brother, you're my sister, and the Bible says that I am to love you. Even people, I don't even know your name. And if I love you enough, why in the world would I affirm your sin? Why in the world are we seeing a nation that's literally starting to affirm sin? That's telling me that love. See, the world is telling us now, if we call sin sin, then we're haters, we're bigots, we're backwoods, closed-minded, if we call sin sin. So we can't even do that anymore. But we have to stop addressing the sin directly and start looking at the human being as a brother and a sister and saying there's a root cause of this behavior, and get to know them enough and love them enough and set an example enough for these people and let God take care of the rest. Because Lord knows us Christian folk, we love to point out sin just to make us feel a little bit more holy and spiritual and righteous and feel better about ourselves. It all starts with love. We've got to love each other. We've got to be there for one another. We've got to be willing to sacrifice for one another. We've got to be willing to give when we don't have anything to give. And we have to seek righteousness, find that peace, and find that joy in the Holy Spirit. And then once that happens, then we'll start seeing those doors start to open to us, and we'll start watching the kingdom start to advance around us. But not until then. Having a building with 10,000 people sitting in it is not the advancement of a kingdom. But if every single person sitting in that building were seeking righteousness, and they had true peace, and they had true joy, that 10,000 would turn into a million real quick. That's how the kingdom works. Thank you for giving me another opportunity to share with you the things that I'm learning. But we are going to take a commercial break for some music and commercials, and we'll be right back for our Q&A time. I did mean to tell you that unfortunately Mother Agnes is not going to be able to join us tonight. I think she's out. She had an engagement tonight that she had to be at. She was booked up. So she'll be joining us next week. I just need to make sure I let everybody know that. So we'll be right back, and we'll take some questions and comments if anybody has any. You're listening to Hip Hop National Radio and Crimson Line Ministries.
Girl, you know what?
What, girl?
Everything that could go wrong in my life is going wrong.
Child, I feel you.
From which I came from, cause Jesus is missing, but y'all won't listen. The end is coming, there's evil going on, cause the love of my name is tripping in the club, for the M-O-N-E-Y, on the corner selling drugs, for the M-O-N-E-Y, giving your body over, for a burger and a fry, then you claim you can't find love, maybe that's why, you need to try J-E-S-U-S, that's for sure, I tried J-E-S-U-S, that's how I know, and I haven't been the same ever since.
I'm representing Jesus. I'm throwing nails. Come on. Now let's go.
I'm talking about.
Shout it out.
Shout it out.
I know too much about J-E-S-U-S. I'm talking about, shout it out, J-E-S-U-S. That's him. I'm sure you already know that he's the only way to truly meet your man. Cause the word says it, that he is the way, the truth and the lie. No, don't you doubt him. I know too much about him.
Hip Hop National Radio has changed its hours of operation to better serve you. We are now on from 5 p.m. on the West Coast, 6 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 8 p.m. on the East Coast. With this new exciting change also comes new and exciting opportunities. So look out and look for what's in store for you. That's right, Hip Hop National Radio is looking out for you, our listening audience. We will be giving away gift cards, prizes and more. So tune in now for your chance to win to join us in our chat room. Log on now to blogtalkradio.com/hiphopnationalradio. To listen in by phone, dial 213-559-2995. That number again is 213-559-2995. Loyalty is royalty. And remember, you cannot win if you're not locked in and listening. We're Hip Hop National Radio, your music industry information resource provider.
This station is a member of BOB, Band of Online Broadcasters, powered by Cloud Radio.
Welcome back to Hip Hop National Radio and Crimson Lion Ministries. Now's the time in the show that we take our questions, comments. If you do have a question or a comment, if you could just press the number 1 on your phone, and that'll place you in the host queue, and we'll be happy to take any comments or questions that you may have.
Okay. No one raised their hand, Pastor Chris.
All right. Looks like we got a slow night. That's okay. That's okay. Well, we'll go ahead and close this one out. Actually, we ran a little longer tonight than usual. So we'll go ahead and close out in prayer, and we'll look forward to joining you again next week. Father, we just thank you so much for tonight, and thank you for your word. Thank you for everything that you just pouring out your spirit in these last days, Father, just pouring out your spirit and trying to teach us the deeper things and just unveil the mysteries of your kingdom that you've been trying to reveal for such a long time. Father, we thank you for your word again. Father, we thank you for this opportunity. And Father, just to pray your blessings on each and every person listening in tonight. Father, until next week, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Good night, everybody.
Jump for Jesus, jump for Jesus, jump for Jesus, jump for Jesus.
Let me see you get out your seat and move your feet, yes, to the beat, come on.
Jump for Jesus.
Let me see you get out your seat and move your feet.
Everybody know, yes, everybody know, everybody know, everybody know.
Let me see you get out your seat and move your feet, yes, to the beat, come on.
know, everybody know, everybody know. Come on, jump, 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 come on, jump.
Blankets, the place where you can turn your photo into a masterpiece. If you want to live like the stars, then here's your key. These are one-of-a-kind creations. Our portfolio includes Dwayne Wade, Music, Slim Thug, Teresa Budon, Bun B, and so much more. All you have to do is log on to www.fmblankets.com. That's www.fmblankets.com. Or you can call 214-403-1524. That number again is 214-403-1524. And tell them Hip Hop National Radio told you to give them a call.
Okay, let's see if you're ready to promote your record. Hot music production? Check. Artwork and artist bio ready? Check. Advertising, marketing, and promotions? Let's begin. Start your buzz right here on Hip Hop National Radio. We're more than just radio. We have an exclusive magazine, a national flyer buddy system, an exclusive artist interview line, and we educate you on the way. And if you're ready, email us your MP3s today to mymp3@hiphopnational.com. Be sure to include the artist's name, song title, and contact phone number. And after you email us, give us a call at 877-580-8555. That's 877-580-8555. Hip Hop National Radio, your platform for advertising, marketing, and promotion. Start advertising right here, right now, on Hip Hop National Radio. We're on standby. Email us and give us a call.
No matter how heavy your burdens are, no matter how difficult the storm, just remember Jesus cares.
I care for you when the burden seems too heavy. I care for you when the load weighs you down. I care for you, and I want you to cast all your cares on me.
He cares for me when the burden is too heavy. He cares for me when the pain is hard to bear. He cares for me, and I'm going to cast all my cares on him. Oh, cast my cares on him. Oh, cast all my cares on him. That's what I'm gonna do, and I want you to know he cares for you too. Just cast a care on him.
Those of you who are experiencing depression, thoughts of suicide, and loneliness, we've come to let you know that Jesus cares.
He cares for you. He cares for you. He cares. He cares for you.
I will care.
I will care.
All my care.
All my care.
The pride don't take care.
Thanks for coming along for the ride for another tour through the new music industry on Hip Hop National Radio.
Hip Hop National Radio.
Hip Hop. Hip Hop. Hip Hop.